I feel happy, right? Anybody know that song, right? So it's a fun song. And well, this last week, I was testing out the new outdoor speakers for the staff, really showing them off. And so to test out the sound system, to show them what it can do, I put on the audio track of Happy. And we were walking around the pavilion to sort of hear just really, again, how nice this sound is. And then out of the corner of our eyes, we caught a whole group of three-year-olds from the daycare, from the Christian Early Learning Center. And they had all just broken out into this little dance party, right? And they were dancing, and the music for them was just this joyous surprise. And for us as well, to see them dancing was just brought, again, smiles and happiness to our faces. It was a joyous surprise. If we were to have a theme song or a backtrack for this week's gospel lesson, I don't think that it would be Happy. Jesus is embroiled in conflict with the forces of evil. He's set against the religious leaders of his day, and even his own family, there is conflict there. So it hardly seems like a happy passage. And in the midst of this tumultuous time, Jesus says something that is so haunting. And he says, and I'm going to offer my own translation here, he says, "The one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit has no forgiveness and is guilty of an eternal sin." And every time I've studied this passage with people over the years, that verse, we just gravitate there. We fear it. We don't understand it. We're even angered by it. For it suggests two haunting things. First, that it might be that we need to have some sort of correct dogma in order to have God's love in our life. And furthermore, that there could be things that we could do that could separate us permanently from God's love. And both of those two are so unsettling. So what shall we say to these things? What shall we say? Well, I want to get at that by asking you a question. And my question for you is, how many of you have ever been able to make somebody forgive you? Not seeing a lot of hands. Turns out it's pretty tough, isn't it, to make somebody forgive you? It's actually impossible, right? We can't make somebody forgive us. Now, we can apologize in written form. We can say the words. We can make it up with gestures. We can try to amend what we've done wrong. We can promise different behavior in the future. We can become a better listener. We can try to give a person space. But in the end, is there anything we can do that can change somebody else's heart? The answer is no. The answer is no. We cannot create forgiveness in somebody else's heart. And why is this that forgiveness is such a mysterious and out of our control thing? Well, I think part of it is that forgiveness isn't very easy. We're not really wired for forgiveness. I remember my grandmother once said to me, as I related a story of a friend who had disappointed me, she said, "Rob, fooled me once, shame on you. Fooled me twice, shame on me." And what she meant was this sort of wisdom of humanity. That, of course, people make mistakes in life, but when they do, what we're supposed to do as humans is to put up a little bit more of an emotional wall, to not confer on them the same intimacy and vulnerability that we did previously. Again, this is how we work as humans. As humans, we're very good at keeping score, and not just of the Sixers game this afternoon. I mean keeping score of relationships. We know what we've done for people, what they've done for us. We know what we owe them and what they owe us. We know to whom we should owe allegiance. And it's worth just pointing out that the only relationship in which we really don't keep track is parent to child. And interestingly, that is the one that is most often used in Scripture to describe God's relationship to us. Again, as humans, we're always aware of what people did to us last time and how it played itself out. Forgiveness is very difficult. I mean, how many of us have said, okay, I have forgiven that person, and then it takes 5 whopping minutes at Thanksgiving before our blood pressure has tripled at what they're saying? Or is that just, no, that's all of us, right? Forgiveness isn't natural to us as humans. What we learn how to do to become adult is not, we do not learn as adults how to forgive people. What we do to become an adult is learn how to deal with people whom we have not forgiven. Right? To be an adult is to learn how to deal with people who drive us nuts, we don't like, but we have to make a way forward in life together. Again, to be an adult is not to learn how to forgive, but to learn precisely how to deal with people whom we have not forgiven. Forgiveness is not the natural state of affairs for us. But yet, there is forgiveness in this world. There are times and places and relationships where forgiveness breaks forth into our life, much like the music out of the church that day for the children. It surprises us. It catches us off guard. It's an interruption. It's an interruption. When I was in college, I did landscaping. And my boss was a very stern boss who would sort of sneak up on you to make sure that you were actually doing what you were supposed to be doing. Well, one Friday, the boss was away, so we decided that we would make sure we wrapped up the job on time, a little bit early, right? And so they sent me to just go get some fuel for the truck. So I go back and I come back, and we're all ready to leave, and we start the engine and it won't turn. And one of the guys, in sort of a mixture of Spanish and English, asks me what kind of fuel I put in the tank. And I said, well, I loaded it up with gas. And he kind of went down and he was like, it's a diesel engine. For those that aren't mechanics, that's not what you're supposed to do. So all weekend, I am just in terror of what my boss is going to do. And so my boss comes up to me on Monday. You know, I'm just, my stomach is so tight, and he comes up. And he kind of looked at me like he had a crazy look. He put his hands on my shoulders, and he said, it's okay. It's okay. And I think I actually started to cry because I had this fear that all of the work that I had done that summer was just going to be garnished for this engine repair. And it was just this moment of really undeserved, something that surprised me, kind of came out of nowhere, and it was just beautiful. And again, the way, though, that forgiveness works, forgiveness is something mysterious, that I just happened to have had this happen on the same week that he had been away on a mission trip with our church helping people fix their homes. And so he couldn't come back from that and not forgive me, right? It had to be. But this is really how forgiveness works. It doesn't come out of our heart directly. There's some sort of intervention in our lives. It's like the person that we've cast off, suddenly we find ourselves at the grocery store months later, and we see somebody drop something on the ground. We go to pick it up, and we say, excuse me, and turns around, and it's the very person we haven't wanted to talk to in 6 months. And this just begins the thawing and a conversation, and sooner rather than later, somebody says, you know, I've been meaning to tell you, and the apology begins. Or we're with a coworker and suddenly we find ourselves, we're totally estranged from them, we find ourselves working on some project that goes well. We find ourselves with some relative with whom we haven't spoken together in a buffet line at a funeral. And so it goes, and we discover over our life that there's this force outside of us that keeps intervening, keep breaking forth, interrupting our life, surprising us with grace and opening up doors, opening up hearts that forgiveness and reconciliation can take place. I remember once a person came to me and wanted to join the church where I was serving. They said, you know, Pastor, we're really liking what's going on at this church, but there's this other family, and we really have some issues with them. And it just goes way back. And like all things, it's complicated. And I'm like, okay. But I'm like, you know, church, we're about forgiveness. It's a big enough place. You'll figure it out. Well, anyway, a few months later, there was some intergenerational event, and I invited them to participate. And wouldn't you know, we divide up into small groups, and what should happen, but this couple is at the same table as the child in the family that they don't like. Well, I'm kind of scratching my head, like, how's that going to go? I'm walking home that day after church, and the person pulls their car over and rolls down their window, and I'm like, ooh, this is going to be good. The person looks to me and say, well, the Holy Spirit showed up. Had a great conversation with this boy, realizing he's becoming a fine young man. Again, this is how God's grace works. It just kind of comes at us from the side, from above, out of nowhere, and it opens up doors, and it opens up our hearts. So why does Jesus say then, well, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you have no forgiveness. What is going on there? Well, you know, if you really say, look, there is no Spirit of God on the loose in this world, right? If you really want to say, you know, there is no person, no divine wind blowing through this world, interrupting our lives with grace, then you're going to be very philosophically hard-pressed to be able to come to terms with, to describe, to make a way for there to be forgiveness in this world. Again, the phenomenon we call forgiveness is not a biological necessity. It's a divine intervention that restitches the human fabric back together. And more personally, if you say, look, there is no divine presence in this world doing things, then how are we really going to be open to God's forgiving and making new our hearts? And how are we going to be open to accepting the grace from other people? Because forgiveness, again, doesn't come from our own human nature, but it's this interruption, this divine grace that comes from the side and above and makes new life, new relationships possible. Maybe to bring it home here, these weeks we're having a lot of baptisms, and so I want to put it in terms of your baptism. Your baptism in the cross on your forehead is a promise that the Holy Spirit, the God who interrupts life, is in your life. For God interrupted the world with Jesus Christ, and Jesus interrupted his disciples' lives with the invitation to come and follow me. And he again and again was interrupting people, overturning their notions of how God was working, revealing that God was alive in new ways. And finally, Jesus' life is interrupted by the cross, and the disciples think that all is lost. But no, Jesus interrupts death and comes back. And the women on the way to the tomb, their grief is interrupted by the words of grace that he is risen. And the disciples in their fear in the locked rooms, that's interrupted by Jesus who comes and says again, peace be with you. Again and again, we have an interrupting God whose grace just permeates and comes into our lives. And so as the baptized, we have this promise that of course we're going to stumble. We're going to sin, we're going to doubt, we're going to close off our hearts and say that there is no more forgiveness between me and this other person. We're going to close ourselves off to reconciliation. And we're going to give in to that temptation to believe the world is only like Mark chapter 3, where the demonic is at loose, where there is tension irreconcilable in families, and where the religious leaders have no sense and we're at odds with all of this. But again, in the words of our baptism, and in that promise, we have a God who interrupts our life again and again with mercy and grace until that day, finally, when death interrupts even our own life. And then we get to discover that indeed there is one more joyous surprise. One more joyous surprise as we open up our eyes and realize that truly all of heaven and earth have been interrupted by the new creation. And we begin to look around and we see the human family with all of their divisions somehow stitched back together by the Spirit, reconciled in praise of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.